Open up to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And also 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. One of the reasons this is important, I decided to go ahead and teach this. I've never really taught out of this passage before that I can remember. The one I'm talking about is 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read it in its entirety, but as you're, most of you heard this story growing up in, you know, maybe Sunday school or sometime in your life, it's this lady whose husband died and left the family in debt, and she needed help. She came to the prophet Elijah, and he told her what God's plan was for her, and the end result of the story was she's the one that went and borrowed all these vessels, and God supernaturally multiplied the oil. She sold that oil and got out of debt. And we're going to look at that in some detail in a minute. But I had never really taught on it myself. But those friends of ours from Taiwan who were here at the conference, they emailed me and they said, and I've never really heard it taught this way in this country, but in Taiwan, he says this is rampant, that the preachers there are saying to the people, if you're in debt, they'll read that passage and they'll say, what you need to do is do what the widow woman did. You need to go and borrow money and give a big offering into my offering so God will get you out of debt. I was sharing this with a lady who is a single mother raising two young children who lives in another state, just sharing some of this with her. And she said it reminded her of the messages that were going out over the America. They weren't using this particular passage, but she said the bottom line was the same. And it's when we were turning from going from the year 1999 to the year 2000, we were coming into that millennium change. And she said the Christian networks, more than one, were saying things along this line. If you'll give, God gave them a revelation that if you will sow $2,000 coming into the year 2000, God will pay off your debts, even including the mortgage on your house. She said, do you know how close I came? I heard it again and again. She's a single mom doing her best to raise two young children. You know, they could use some more finances. She says, you know how close I came because I heard it again and again and again. And I didn't have any $2,000. I would have had to have gone and borrowed it. Do you have any idea how close I came to doing that? Words fail me. I don't know what to say. I'm glad I'm not the judge. And those people better be glad I'm not the judge. God's mercy and grace. When the Holy Ghost began retraining us, Sue and I, after we started attending this church and began, I wasn't seeking revelation knowledge along the lines of finances. I really wasn't seeking it along any particular line. I was just meditating the Bible and praying in other tongues. But the Holy Ghost, it just seemed to please Him. He would just open up scriptures concerning revelation about kingdom finances over and over and over again. And when I began to see all the lies that I had been taught, By quote, men standing in the pulpit supposedly speaking for God, stand there, lie to me in the name of the Lord. I was angry. I listen to those tapes now and I quake a little bit. Sue, I may have to reteach some of those. They are the truth, but I'm not sure all of them are in love. I was so mad. I'm getting a little better now, not a whole lot. That's what got me studying this, and I got to looking at it. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a wonderful story. How many of you, and I don't want to ask it that way, anyone in here ever been in trouble? Would you need to the point you don't know what to do, and you need some help from God? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this one, but what if, has any of you ever been in trouble financially? Like maybe in debt? There's a commercial going on. You know, I don't know if y'all seen that commercial. It's a nice looking fella in modern times. He says, you like my house? He says, you like my car? It's new. He says, look at my beautiful lawn and look at all these things I have. And he's riding his lawnmower and he says, how do I do it? He said, I'm in debt to my eyeballs. Somebody help me. I don't have to raise your hands, but I'm going to raise my hand. I have been there. When Sue and I got born again, we were $250,000 in debt. Everyone, I learned this from Alan. Everyone say, $250,000. Everyone say it this way, $250,000 in debt. 11 months later, we were debt free. I'm not talking just from theory. Now, Sue and I, we really are God's favorites. No, we are not God's favorites. What He does for us, what He does for one, He will do for all.
That's right.
Now, this story in 2 Kings really illustrates Hebrews 4:16. Let's look at that one first. We may come back to it. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible anyway. And now I'm going to use debt today as being the problem you're trying to get out of, but you could be in any kind of trouble. You could have family trouble. You could have wayward children trouble. You could have wayward spouse trouble. You could have trouble in your body. You could need healing. Trouble! Now we're going to be talking about debt because that's specifically what's being taught in 2 Kings. But look at what this says in Hebrews. It doesn't matter what your problem is. It says, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain. Now notice you're going to obtain two things. First, thank God for this one. First, you're going to obtain mercy. You know why? Most likely, especially if it's money problems, part of the problem is you. Not always, but there's a chance. Part of the problem may be you. That's not, and really I mean that when I say not always, because sometimes there's medical things happen and you know, emergencies come and stuff, you know. But usually if we really be honest, mixed in there with that kind of stuff is also some of you, you know. And so what do you need? I need mercy. Would you help me anyway? Please, I need mercy. So, and that's the first thing you're going to find at the throne of grace. Not law. Mercy. But see, if a person comes, okay, let's just say for example, and this would be a good example, let's say Sue at this moment is sitting on that throne of grace. And I'm a guy who is in big trouble. And I come up to her and I say, I did this and I did that and I'm in big trouble. And she puts her hand right on my head and says, I have mercy on you. You are forgiven. And then I walk away. That's all I got. And I go, whew. Well, thank God Sue's not mad at me. And I got mercy. And thank God she's not holding against me. But about halfway back, I go, but wait a minute. I'm still in trouble. See, mercy doesn't fix the problem. Mercy forgives you for your part in the problem. But if she not only puts her, I like to have her hand on my head anyway. Oh, excuse me, I'm just enjoying this. 30 years this year, glory to God. Almost lose my train of thought to get around this woman. Glory to God, hallelujah. Baby, will you marry me? Oh yeah, you already did. Hallelujah. But then she says, where's your purse? Then she says, is it financial trouble? She says, I'm not only going to forgive you. You do know that I have unlimited resources.
Yes, I do.
She says, how much do you need, boy?
Wow.
Now that's when she gives me grace to help. She's adding her resources to my lack. She's adding her power to my weakness. Grace to help in my time of need. Do you know that's exactly what we're going to see in 2 Kings chapter 4? You ready? Go over to 2 Kings chapter 4 now. Let me just read it out of the King James. Just verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Now, boy, if you underline anything. Borrow not a few. Notice he doesn't tell her how many. But just borrow not a few. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. That means it stopped right there. It didn't multiply anymore. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." This woman was in trouble. Can any of you relate? Now, her husband was a man who loved God. And actually, that phrase, sons of the prophets, up there, when she says, "Thy servant, sons of the prophets," in modern day, we would say he was in training for the ministry. He was in the school of the prophets. He was learning. You would phrase it a seminary student today, or someone who's actually going, like a Bible college student. Young man loved God. Had a wife, two kids, two sons. Died unexpectedly. No doubt, in my mind, he was fully planning on paying those debts off. But he, what's that old deal? You woke up dead, it surprised you, you know. And now the wife and the sons are left with a problem. In this case, really it wasn't her fault at all. But she still got the problem. All right? Sometimes things that happen, you say, just not fair what happened to me. Other people don't have this, and we wound up in debt, you know. Sometimes it's a hospital thing. Sometimes it's a lot. Big deal. To God, it doesn't matter how you got in the problem. He will get you out. That's really what's being taught here. Now, do you know that under law, you can go back to Leviticus, if in this situation, that creditor is not doing anything wrong. Under the law of Moses, he has the right, if she can't pay the debt, to take her two sons, which means they had to be old enough to work, but to take her two sons as bondmen until the next 7-year release of debt. Every 7 years, you know, you could take your fellow Hebrew for 6 years. But in the 7th year, you cancel the debt. You got that? So that creditor isn't doing anything wrong. And in most churches, God, I've got to quit using that phrase. Very often today when people come for counseling, basically what they get after the hour is, You made this bed, now sleep in it. You made this problem. Under the law, you're guilty. That's just the way it is. Thank God, the reason this story is here, even under the Old Testament, even under the law, we're seeing God's true nature shine through here. Because He went beyond the law. This reminds me of that lady who came to Jesus and asked that the devil be cast out of her daughter, but she wasn't an Israelite. And he says, healing is the children's bread. Yes, but even the dogs, you know, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She knew that God was bigger than the law. He said, what did he say about her? Woman, great is thy faith. Thy daughter is made whole, or average phrase there. This is almost the same kind of deal, because legally, if all she gets is law, the creditor is right. He has a right to them. Your husband made the debt. That's just the way it is. But she came for help. Don't hesitate to go to your father for help. Now, I don't want to stray very far from this. All right, she came to the man of God. The prophet. Now you got to get this part. That's the best she could do under that covenant, because the Holy Spirit would speak through the king, the priest, and the prophet. Your average Joe Blow, Mary Wallpaper like us didn't have access to the Holy Ghost. And see, I know why a lot of people get in the lines every time that, you know, that we have a conference, and that's okay if you need to get in the line, especially if you need healing. But I know why a lot of them are in that line. They're wanting to get a word from God. That's okay. But I'm telling you, that's not okay to stay there. You need to get to the place where you're giving words, not receiving them. You need to get to the place where you hear God yourself. Why do you think God brought you to this message? To develop your ear to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost yourself. Now, she had to go to the prophet. That's dangerous for you to some extent in this dispensation. It's good. It's okay with Dave. You're safe. He's not after your money. Alan, am I preaching the truth? Some of them out there are. Am I preaching the truth? Alan's seen it, man. And I don't mean where he comes from, but I'm just saying at that ministry, he's seen every kind of ministry come through there. Some of them are invited back, some of them are not. Doesn't mean they didn't have a gift, though. Anyway, get Alan's tapes on that. He did a real good job. Just because the gifts are operating through you doesn't mean you got a lick of maturity. Gifts are for babies, and gifts are free. Alan Taylor. Get his tapes from last couple of weeks. Alan Taylor. But back to this. Now, she had no choice. She had to go to the man of God. And thank God Elijah truly was a man of God. And what he gave her is what we today would call a word of wisdom. Y'all remember the nine gifts of the Spirit? One of them is, you know, we have word of knowledge. That's where you know information that you have no other way of knowing. God does that with me more and more all the time. He will never use any of that to harm anybody. Sometimes I wish I didn't know what I know. But the only reason He shows it to me is so I can pray or minister better. Not to expose anybody. Okay? But this one is a word of wisdom. Now that's when you don't know what to do. God, from the mind of Christ, the very mind of the living Christ who sits on the throne, instructions come from Him in heaven to you. She got it by way of the prophet. You can get it yourself praying in the Holy Ghost. Learning how to listen for the voice of the Spirit, which is, do you know He borrows the voice of your new nature? That's why it's so dangerous to be violating your conscience all the time. That conscience is the voice of your new nature, and He speaks through that same place. So if you're always building, you know, deafening, silencing, callousing your ear to the voice of your conscience, you may not know it, but you're also deafening, silencing, and callousing your ear to the leadership that comes by the voice of the Holy Ghost. I want to hear Him tell me how to make $1 million, but I don't want to live holy. Now, you make $1 million on your own because you're not going to be able to hear Him. Baby, am I preaching good? I'm preaching real good, aren't I? All right. Touch me again, baby. God, hallelujah. Good stuff. All right. So, He gives her a word of wisdom. And now get this. Words of wisdom that really come from God, your natural mind is going to have problems with it. I'm telling you right now, whatever. How many times have y'all heard me say, you want to prosper in God? Do you? Do you? And they go, yeah. Whatever He says to you, do it. And everybody goes, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Till you get your first instruction from God that makes no sense whatsoever and looks like certain death if you do it. You know? That's... LaRue says all the time, Gary, God has never yet asked me to do anything I could afford. Can we relate with that one? You know why when He talks to you that it, what He says, you look at that and you go, that's impossible. You know why it looks impossible? It is! He's calling you to stuff way bigger than you. You're going to have Him in you operating. All right? Well, he gives this instruction. And he tells her what to do. What would be the New Testament version of this? I keep telling you, I'm warning you not to go and pay, not to pay a prophet, not even to ask for a free prophecy. Unless, boy, you better really trust the minister like we trust Dave. Okay, I've been around here 13 years. I know that I can trust him. Hold your place there in 2 Kings. Go over to James just for a minute. Where do you get your wisdom? In the New Testament, New Covenant. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8. I still hear pages turning. James chapter 1. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the prophet. Let him get in the prayer line. Let him go to the pastor. Let him finally get a counseling session with Gary and Sue, for God's sake. You know why we don't make it easy? God, we hope you're not learning to rely on us. We want you to learn to rely on the Holy Ghost and walk with you. I'd rather see you step out and fail a few times and still say, okay, that wasn't him. Because he'll fix any mess you make. And get back in there and pray and listen again till finally you and him walking together. Because I just got news for you. Sue and I are having enough trouble walking our own walk with God. We don't have time to walk you with yours. Neither does Dave, neither does Tim, neither does that person sitting next to you. You need to, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You can go to God yourself, and that's what that woman really couldn't. All right? Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, an example in the 2 Kings one that we're looking at right now, upbraideth not. You notice that Elijah didn't go. He didn't start chewing the lady out. He didn't start going, how come you didn't tell your husband? How come you didn't tell him not to make those debts? How come this and how come that? No. Now, God will give you wisdom how not to get back in that problem again. Do you ever notice this? When he would come and like they let that, I may get... There was a man who was really sick, and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Boy, that made the Pharisees mad. And he said, well, which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of God, Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sins, I say, take up thy bed and walk. Then he would say to people, he would always heal them first. Give them help first. Get them delivered first. Then he might say something like, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. You notice Elijah didn't start chewing the lady out, giving her, you know, making her feel even worse than she already was, and upbraiding her and giving her, you should have told your husband this, you should have done that, or whatever. No. First comes the help from God. What do you find at that throne of grace? What's the first thing? Mercy. That's why he upbraids not. Mercy. Then grace to help in your time of need. Then as you continue fellowshipping with him, he'll teach you how not to get in that condition again. Is this good stuff or what? James again, let's finish that up. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now see, for years I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I knew what the words say, but in practical application I didn't know what it meant. Let me finish it so I'll show you what it means. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. If you waver, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now let me show you what wavering would be. Did this woman not come for God's help?
Yes.
All right. Did she receive God's wisdom?
Yes.
Did it sound like it would work? No, it didn't sound like it would work. And that's where you waver. God's wisdom to us. Here, Sue and I, in the beginning, we have no ministry. We have no tithes. We have no offerings coming in. We're not selling nothing. You know? And, I mean, it's like I usually say, money was staying away in great abundance. We pray and asking for wisdom. What does God say? Now I want you to start mailing all these tapes out. And my first thought is, finally, we're going to be able to, we get to sell these tapes and people, we're finally going to have some money coming in. And about right about there somewhere, God says, oh yeah, send them for free. We was going on Sid Roth. We got an invitation to be on the Sid Roth program. And now I don't know if you know this, but his viewing, he's really big in Israel. He's really big in Florida. He's really big up and down the East Coast. For if you never heard of Sid Roth, he has a television program where he has people on. And it's basically an evangelistic outreach primarily to the Jew, but I mean to everybody. He's trying to get the Jew born again. And so normally when you go on his program, nearly all everybody always has an item to sell. I mean, they'll have a tape or a tape series, you know. So they were asking us, we were going to go for the first time. And they were asking us, you know, well, what do you have that we could sell? And I said, we don't have anything you can sell. And I explained to them how we operate. I said, I could give you a couple of tapes. In fact, what they were was Truth Changes Fact and The Unjust Judge. I said, I could give you a couple of tapes. I'd like to take pictures of to show, because they have to have something to show on the TV. And I said, but we'll send them for free. Boy, there was silence on the phone. She says, Mr. Carpenter, do you understand that Sid's viewing audience is roughly 16 million people? Are you prepared to send 16 million free tapes? Then there was another long silence on the phone. You talk about somebody listening for God's wisdom. I am listening with, thank God I had spent some time in the prayer closet. You know the answer that came back? Just as clear as a bell. God says, I can afford it. That's what I told her. She said, okay. Here we went with fear and trembling. God had mercy on us. Boy, we did send lots and lots of tapes. Thank God it wasn't 16 million. But it was lots, hundreds, and or really by the time it was over, thousands upon thousands from there. Cost about $1, by the way. Not for the tape itself, but by the time you buy the tape, buy the labels, buy the bubble mailers, buy the everything, payroll, depreciation on your duplication machines, everything that's involved, you're talking roughly $1 a tape. You can't waver at the instructions you get from God. You can't waver. If you do, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, this lady's instructions was just as nuts as, excuse me, Lord, this lady's instructions didn't make any more sense than our instructions. So does the Lord. I heard Jerry say, I love it. And I said, the Lord does too, really? I think the Lord likes messing with us sometimes. He said, let's see if they'll go for this, you know. Anyway. That's what it means to waver. I mean, if you're going to ask for God's... Yes, sir. If you're going to ask for God's wisdom, don't expect man's answers. Whoa. 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 Don't expect man's answers. Well, it doesn't make sense to my little brain. Well, that's part of how you got in that problem. Stuff making sense to your brain. You need to hear stuff that doesn't make sense to your brain. Start getting God's answers. How am I doing so far? Am I doing okay? All right. Now let's go back to 2 Kings now. Now let's just notice some things. Here the lady's in trouble. She's got this debt, and it's a serious situation. I can't imagine, you know, if they were going to come take our two sons. if we had sons, and put them... Basically, it's a 6-year prison farm sentence. I'm going to put them to work, hard labor, somewhere for the next 6 years because of debts they didn't even make. Yet that is the law. The creditor had every right to do it. Help, God. I need help. So God gives a word of wisdom, which very often does not make sense to the natural mind. Okay? God gives a word of wisdom. Now, the ball's back in your court. Are you going to do what He says, or are you not going to do what He says? Fortunately, this one did, which we'll get to it here in a minute. One of the first things I want you to notice, though, Elijah did not counsel the woman to go to the bankers and borrow even more money to pay off that creditor. Yet that is the predominant man's wisdom thing going on today with all of this refinancing of the houses. The bottom line is you're going into even more debt than you had before. More debt for longer years. You're going into more debt than you had before to solve the problem. That is seldom God's answer. God's answer will be scary, but it'll work. Okay? All right. I want you to notice also that He did not instruct her to borrow money to put into an offering to Him. Now, if you really want to know the truth about this story, Elijah, he got nothing out of this transaction. There was no offering given to him. There was no oil given to him. There was no, not even any empty vessels given to him. He got nothing out of this. How in the world you can take this story and then tell people, well, what this teaches is you need to give into my offering, when Elijah didn't receive anything out of this? I lose words what to say about that. But it's seldom God's wisdom to go further into debt to get out of debt. In modern terminology, Elijah did not tell the woman to sow a seed to meet her need. He did not tell her to sow a seed to meet her need. In fact, nowhere in this whole passage is there any mention, not once, of an offering to God of any kind. Do you remember there's an Old Testament, I think it was Samuel talking to King Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes God's just after your obedience. There's times for offerings. There's times the sacrifice they were talking about there was a burnt offering. But obedience is better than sacrifice. You got that? Sometimes He wants something. He wants your obedience. It's not okay. You can't buy God off. Well, I'm not going to do what you said. I'm just going to give you money, and I still want you to do this miracle. No, you're going to do what He said, or you're not going to get your miracle. Now, the instruction that Elijah gave the widow seemed foolish, bizarre, and illogical. One time when the Holy Spirit early on was training Sue and I think it's in the face-to-face things, so it was about 98, He said to me one time, He says, "You need to prepare yourself to begin receiving my bizarre instructions concerning kingdom finances." And I went, oh, I thought what we were already doing was bizarre. And it is compared to what most of them are doing. He says, "You ain't even," like basically saying, "You ain't even seen bizarre yet." These instructions were bizarre. This is highly unusual. Didn't make any sense to the natural mind. He told her to borrow empty vessels from her neighbors. Not the bank. From her neighbors. Now notice, these vessels were not being... They were empty. They were not being used by the neighbors. They had no value of their own. It didn't cost her neighbors anything to loan her these empty vessels. They're empty. She said, "Can I borrow your empty vessel?" "Well, I'm not using it." "I guess you can borrow it." Okay? Then God... Now, here's the point. You remember in the lessons from the manna? Two of those lessons. One of them was God makes a way where there is no way. You remember that? What was the other one? God is with you. Now notice, once she obeyed and did what God told her to do, she borrowed the empty vessels. Then He says, Boy, it's just, this so exactly reminds me of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes. Remember where they had 5,000 people? Well, what are we going to feed them? And he turned to his disciples and he said, you feed them. And they're going, we don't have anything but these, you know, we can't feed these people. He said, well, what do you have? It's amazing. Jesus comes to how he started us. What do you have, Gary? We have a living room. We've got a 20-year-old Panasonic tape recorder. What do you have in the way of snacks? We got coffee. We got tea. They sell ginger snaps for $1 a bag. I said, that'll do. Can I have it? God says, can I use it? I'll multiply it. Still to this day, all these years later, the boot camp series, the workbook series, many of the things that came out of that, still yet, those series are going around the world. You know, people are doing Bible studies with those in Australia, Africa, all over the world. God's multiplied our little loaves and fishes to this day. Even while we're in this auditorium and I'm using my voice is being heard on every continent of the world by those tapes. Even as we speak here, God will multiply your loaves and fishes. But he very often, nearly always comes, just like Jesus, what do you have? We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I heard a preacher one time say, well, the loaves they had in those days were great big loaves. I about fell out of the car as driving down the road, and I'm going, it was a little boy's lunch. It plainly tells you it was a little boy's lunch. For crying out, see, the natural mind just doesn't want to receive, you know, that God can do what you can't do. God is with you. He makes a way where there is no way. Glory to God. But he very often comes and says, what do you have? With Jesus, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That anointing touched it and it fed the multitudes, and they gathered up more. They gathered up more than they started with. Hallelujah. What, Jesus, here Elijah, what do you have in the house? You see this again? What do you have in the house? We don't have anything. We got this little bit of oil is all we've got left. God says, will you do what I tell you with it? Will you do what I tell you with it? See? So she goes and he tells her, go borrow all these empty vessels. Doesn't cost the neighbors anything. They're empty. They're not being used for anything. But now here it comes. When you close the door. Thank God she didn't have to do it publicly. Close the door. You and your sons. You take that one little vessel of oil you have. Now boy, here's where it messes with. Now right about here is where our brain starts leaking out our left ear. Right here is where you have opportunity to waver at God's wisdom.
Right.
Sue, this happened more than one time, but one time in particular. Near the end of those Bible studies, we found that certain people were coming that didn't have enough to eat. So Sue would prepare something big, easy to serve, like stew, goulash, something like that. This one time, was it stew?
I don't
remember. It was either stew or goulash. We had so many. We had so many people come. We weren't more than we were expecting, and she'd already used all the resources we had to make the goulash, whatever it was that was there. We had a 2 Kings chapter 4 night, because I mean she dipped out of that pot and dipped out of that pot and dipped out of that pot way more than is possible. Now I have an engineering mind. I know capacity and cubic inches, and I'm telling you, we dipped more out of the pot than was in the pot. And not until the last person ate did the pot go empty. Tell me he doesn't still do it. He does still do it. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Glory to God. Takes me back to those thrilling days. Hallelujah. Oh, now that's where, but that's, now that, now we're up to it with her. She's got the empty vessels. She's got them there, all right. But now, she's got to take what she has, trusting the Lord, start pouring it in those vessels. Can you imagine the look that came on her face? She filled up one, and she still got her original vessel of oil. Hand me another one. Fills up the next one. Still got her original vessel of oil. Hand me another one. You know, that's what happened with the disciples when they were handing out the loaves and fishes. Do you know that that multiplied as they handled it? As they handled it. They're handing out bread and fish to each row. And you're looking, the basket's still full. The basket's still full. They're handing out loaves and fishes, and it's multiplying as they handle it. Same thing happening here. Multiplied in Sue's pot as she dipped it out. Glory to God. But see, that's where most people waver. Waver at God's wisdom. Don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. His wisdom is not man's ways. But now we come to this. Finally, they're in that process. The oil is multiplying, and she tells her boys, hand me another empty one. And they say, there are no more. They're all full. All that we borrowed are now full. So notice, God got involved, and He did. Boy, if you're writing anything down, God did for her what she could not do for herself. Only God. Now, He may ask for your resources, all right, but He's the one that multiplies them. He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself if you'll obey what He tells you to do. Amen? All right, now let's keep going. So now God supernaturally... So once that was over, she came back to the man of God. Okay, I did what you told me. Now what? And here's His instructions. He says, go... Let me read it here. Sell the oil. Number one, sell the oil. Do we have any gospel entrepreneurs in the house? Have anybody like that? Can you see that this is God co-laboring with somebody in the financial arena, supplying supernaturally what you cannot do for yourself? And then He says, go sell the oil. Go sell it. That's just too worldly. No, you're too religious. Do what the Lord tells you. Sell it, He said. Sell the oil. But notice, go to the Bahamas. Is that what He said next? Buy yourself a big, nice camel. Get the Lexus brand camel next. You better not take that gospel entrepreneur idea where He added His power and use it on yourself first. You better use it for what He told you to use it for. And in this case, sell the oil, notice, pay the debt. And then this last one, so we just read it too quick. And live thou and thy children off of the rest. Do you know what's implied there? You better live within your means. Live within your means. Don't be going into debt. There's the wisdom. But it comes after God gave. When I say wisdom, there's the instructions on how not to have this happen again. Okay? But notice that comes after God's wisdom came. After God's power came. You got that? Now, I'm going to summarize here in a minute. By this single act of obedience, acting on this single word of wisdom, this woman went from debt to surplus. One idea from God, if you'll act on it. I don't care how... You know, we're not told how much in debt she was. What if it was a quarter of a... Oh, yes, I never did tell you the story. I won't tell you all of it. We don't have time. Now, I told you, Sue and I started out $250,000 in debt. Most of that was real estate debt. At the time, we were big in real estate. We had a bunch of rent houses. But in the 80s, Oklahoma went into a deep recession. At that time, the main things in Oklahoma was oil and agriculture, and both of them went in the toilet at the same time. Texas was going through it. Louisiana was going through it. Everywhere that they called the oil patch. And we had, at that moment, we had 7 rent houses, which is fine, except during the recession hit, right at the time we get saved, and 4 of them go vacant at once. When 4 out of 7 of your rent houses are vacant and you still got to make the monthly payments, you're in trouble. You know, $400 or $500 a piece times four, and the others are just barely covering the we were in trouble. And plus, during the 80s, for a short period of time, we were actually in a period of deflation. It was hard to sell houses. There was a house three doors up from where Sue and I live right now that I personally had sold for 70-some-odd thousand dollars about 1979. And in that recession, at the worst of it in the 80s, they couldn't sell it for 50. Couldn't sell it for 50. Well, now we're in that kind of a market, and we're $250,000 in debt, and we're in kind of the same shape that this widow woman's in. And they're, you know, I mean, it looks like you can't rent it and you can't sell it. And there's 1,000 devils on each shoulder crying bankruptcy, bankruptcy, bankruptcy. Now, if you have experienced bankruptcy, that is not the unpardonable sin. It's like there is life after divorce. There is life after bankruptcy. But if you can avoid it, avoid it. Okay? Man, we're praying, we're brand new, we hardly know anything, but I want you to know that God gave us favor, and in the worst of that recession, in 11 months' time, we sold 6 out of 7 of those rent houses. You know why we didn't sell a 7th one? I tried. That was God's plan to help us get launched into the ministry 13 years later. Those same renters stayed there and paid their rent for 13 years, let that house appreciate. And when we went full-time in ministry, God says, now sell it, because they moved, finally, after all that time. And that's how we got launched into the ministry. God always has a plan. $250,000 in debt, 11 months later, debt-free. Hallelujah. All right? But we had to obey God's instructions, and we don't have time to get in all that. Some of the stuff He asked us to do was as nuts to the natural mind, is crazy to the natural mind, is what He told her to do. Doesn't make sense. Whatever He says to you, do it. All right, let's finish this up here. All right. How would y'all like to go from... Okay, I don't want a show of hands. Would it be a good thing to go from debt to surplus? That's what happened with this widow and her sons. They were in debt to the point the sons were about to have to go serve 6 years. 6 years. But by a single act of obedience, they went from that situation to where now they're debt-free and they have money left over to live on. I call that a good deal. And it all came by getting the wisdom of God. They had to go to the prophet. You can go directly to God by the Holy Ghost and act on it and do what He says. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I want to make sure it's on the tape. The reason I began studying this to make this lesson out of it was I was told that some dishonest preachers use this passage to teach that the widow, quote, borrowed in order to, quote, sow to Elijah, and that was how she was able to pay off her debts. And they then encourage people to borrow in order to sow into their ministries, saying that that giving will cause God to enable them to pay off their debts. Now, here's some thinking points. I'm just going to list them for you. Number one, Elijah received no offering at all from this event. There was no vessel. He didn't get any of the empty vessels. He didn't get any oil. He didn't get any offering. Nothing. You got that part? Number two, the woman asked for God's help by way of the prophet. But in our dispensation, we receive God's wisdom directly from Him while in prayer. Number three, point number three. This woman had two things, not just one. She had faith and obedience. Notice, she was not a hearer only. She was a doer of the instructions she received, even though it seemed impossible to the natural mind what was about to happen. Boy, now you got to get this part. You remember when Elijah, you notice he didn't say borrow 200 vessels? He didn't say how many. All he said was borrow, not a few. Did you ever notice this? Her supply was only limited by her faith. If they would have had twice as many vessels, that oil would have kept flowing. What was it that stopped the flow of oil? Only the amount of vessels that she had borrowed. That's it. You got to get this. Don't ever put limits on the limitless God. There is no end to His supply. One time when I flew to South Africa, that's an 18-hour flight. And I've been on a lot of airplanes in my life, and I've seen some small seats, but I got to tell you, these were the smallest, narrowest little seats I've ever been on in my life. 18 hours in that rascal. But walking through, I got to walk through first class. First class, their seats didn't look anything like my seats. They reclined. In fact, they would almost recline into a bed, you know, and they were wide and they were cushy. And I asked them, I said, how much does it cost to go first class? $10,000. I said, do I at least get to keep the seat? You think if you're going to pay $10,000, you ought to get to keep that seat, you know? No. I'm sitting there thinking about that. I mean, now, if I remember right, roughly the flight was like $1,500 or something for my seat. Still not cheap. But $10,000. And it was full. They were sold out anyway in first class. And I'm just pondering on that. And I hear the voice of the Lord says, see, I keep telling you, there is no shortage of money. There's just shortage because of the way it flows. I've called you to change the way it flows. Any gospel entrepreneurs in the room? There's no shortage. And that's one thing you can learn from this lady, this widow. She's the one that limited her supply. How many vessels they borrowed? What do you expect? What preparations are you making? Hallelujah. There is never a shortage of God's supply to meet your need. Trust me. Trust me on this. You listening? Your problem is not too big for Him. He can afford it. Even if it's 16 million tapes. Even if they all would have wanted one. Or two. He can afford it. Our supply is only limited by our faith. Number five. The widow, I'm going to say it again because it needs to be said again. The widow was not required to tithe from the proceeds of the sale of the oil. Read it for yourself. The instructions are, this is the word of the Lord to the woman. Go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, under that dispensation, normally, that is the dispensation of the law, and that's where the tithe is in effect. So why wasn't she given the instruction to tithe off of it? Contrary to the teachings of the Pharisees, who Jesus says devours widows' houses with their false doctrine, widows, under the dispensation of the law of Moses, were allowed to eat from the tithes and offerings that were placed in the storehouse. They were never commanded to bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse. That's why Jesus, when He's watching this at the treasury... Now, I know that they've taught that for years. Oh, how He... If you really want to get stirred up, get my tape called The Widow's Mite. But he was, and I can't reteach it here, but He's going, now wait a minute, let's see now. Sitting under the doctrine of the Pharisees, now this little widow, she's casting in all of her living, putting into the treasury. When really, the word of my father to them was the widows were supposed to come and be eating from the food that was in the treasury. What kind of doctrine are these boys teaching here? That's why when he left, see, what we don't get to see that his disciples could see, we can't see the countenance of his face. We can't see the veins bulging in Jesus' neck. We can't see the flush. They could. And as they're leaving, you read that when they're leaving the temple, they start saying things like, Jesus, look at this temple, how great and wonderful it is. It took our fathers all these years to build it. Isn't it magnificent? You know what? They're trying to calm him down. He's not happy. And you know what he says to that? I'm telling you, not one stone will be left upon another when I get through with this. This is, he didn't say this part, but he's going, this is such a perversion of my Father's will. See, when he cursed that fig tree and it dried up from the roots, the fig tree is always a type of Israel, the fig tree. And what he was saying is, I'm bringing that whole system of religion to nothing. I mean, it will dry up, and I mean from the roots and from that system of the law, no man will ever eat fruit from that tree again. I'm bringing it down. We're going to bring in the new kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Kingdom of God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? But I digress. We're getting close to end now. Everyone say thank God. All right. What are the lessons for us? Let's kind of capsulize again. What are the lessons for us we can learn out of this? When we're in trouble, pray. What does James say? Is any among you in trouble? Let him ask of God. Isn't that what he says? Pray, you old flaky thing. We're whining and complaining and telling everyone how bad you got it. Go pray. Get some wisdom from God. And whatever the Lord... And don't... I mean, if you're at this place where you just flat can't hear Him, then get in the grace lines. Sure, we're not against that. I'm not saying don't get in them. But for God's sake, do the message. Get to where you can hear... You can have your own grace line right at home. You can get your... You can hear from God at home. Hallelujah. And then whatever the Lord says, what's the lessons for us? Pray, ask for wisdom, and whatever He says to you, do it. Don't waver at it. Do it, even if it does look impossible. What do you expect? Man's wisdom? Then don't place any limits upon Him. There's no limits to His supply. And do not be fooled by unscrupulous preachers who claim you have to borrow to sow into their ministries in order to get God to help you. There's nothing in this passage about giving an offering, borrowing money, or sowing and reaping of any kind, is there? You tell me. We just read it, didn't we? We make our appeals at the throne of grace, not at the throne of law. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now again, grace to help. See, many of us, we have a concept that God will forgive you for anything. And He will He not? There's no end to the blood of Jesus. You come, but listen, God has more than just mercy for you. He has grace to help you. He will get you out of that problem. I don't care how much debt you're in. Okay, we were a quarter of a million. What if you're in debt 10 million? Oh, now it's too big for God. What if your trouble is something other than that? You know, maybe you got health problems. Okay, well, God could help me if it wasn't diabetes. But everyone knows even God can't cure diabetes. I don't know whose God you're talking about. But you're not talking about my God. God that can cure leprosy. A God that where the maimed are made whole. When do we have church services like that? All right, everyone missing a leg, line up over on the green line right over there. If you're missing an arm, we put these over on this side. Brad has a special anointing for arms. Those days are coming. Oh, but diabetes. Or my wayward child. I'm telling you, my child is bigger than God. I'll tell you that rebellion. I told them they shouldn't act like that. I told them they shouldn't act like that. But they're acting like that anyway. Oh, your child is not bigger than God.
Right.
What he needs from you is love, and you speaking God's word over your child, and some tough love once in a while.
Right.
Like, you're not going to do drugs in my house.
Right.
You do remember the prodigal couldn't live the way he lived and stay in the Father's house.
Right.
Sometimes the best thing for you is a good hunger deal. Hunger is a great... Not you. I try not to let my eyes focus on anybody. It's a good one here. This one will do to take along. As my dad would say. Sometimes hunger is a great motivator. That prodigal had to come to himself. Like Dave says, he feigned to eat the husks, you know. He says, perhaps I ought to repent. No kidding. And I'm glad someone wasn't there constantly bailing him out and petting his rebellion. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to have three more services this afternoon because I'm not near done. I'm just getting warmed up good. Y'all glad I got healed? Remember at the first of the year, I couldn't hardly stand. I couldn't even hardly walk up here, much less do three services. We'll do another one tonight, you know. Calling in the lost at 7. Give the Lord praise for it. Hallelujah. Tim, glory to God. Say this after me. Father, I repent. I don't know why. I haven't been coming more often to that throne of grace. What's wrong with me, God? I want to come more often. I want to come to get mercy and get your grace to help me in my time of need. Devil! I'm talking to you now. I'm tired of listening to you. You've been lying to me. My problems are not too big for God. He's going to help me. And I walk free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Give the Lord a hand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We win. We win. You need to go home and pray. You need to make some decisions. I'm telling you right now, if you come to my house and see my desk, God's got me involved in more projects than I can get done. You think I have time to come hear God for you? I'm not doing anything for God. You're not listening to Him very much then. He's got more stuff for you. And I mean God stuff, not good stuff. There's a big difference. I have to be careful all the time about the good stuff. Amen. How do I stop? I don't know how.
Like I do.
I just stop. Okay, I'm done. Father, we thank you for your word. We glorify you, Lord. Father, I do thank you that hope has been imparted to these people. Father, that they understand that they can come to you. Good Lord. Father. He is a good Lord. Father, this is the way I really talk to him in my prayer anyway. You loved her so much, Lord, and you had compassion and mercy and help for her. Father, we're your children. We're actually born of the Spirit of God. You've actually given us your name, given us an inheritance. How much more? Father, we're in this better testament based on better promises. Father, there's just no reason for us not to come to you and get grace to help in our time of need. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, yes, sir, I'll do that. Like Job prayed for his comforters, Father, I pray for all the men who are abusing this scripture. For greed's sake, Father, have mercy on them. Lay not that sin to their charge, Father. And Father, by this prayer, we open the door for you to reach them. Correct them. Change them, Lord, that they can repent and teach the truth and be faithful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. We do have calling in the lost tonight at 7. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you.